So before we get started, a little story of Pastor Dave last night. So many of you know, every Saturday night I go to Dunkin' Donuts over here, and they give us the leftover donuts they haven't sold, and then I bring them early in the morning for our Ministry of Hope. And what I've learned to do is around 8 o'clock or so, I'll kind of ride over there, and I can kind of look through the door and see if they have donuts or not. A lot of times they don't have any donuts at all, and I roll on home and watch Star Trek or something. Yesterday, about 8 o'clock, I rode by Dunkin' Donuts, and I thought, my gosh, I've never seen so many donuts in my life at this time of night. So I stopped the car, walked in, and I said, wow, y'all didn't sell many donuts today. They said, well, what do you expect? It's the couple days after Thanksgiving. Nobody's going to eat donuts. They're all full with turkey and everything else. And they said, it's the worst day of the year for Dunkin' Donuts is right after Thanksgiving. And there must have been 300 donuts there. I mean, and I thought, wow, I have Ministry of Hope, and I'll have one for you. Pastor Dave is going to give his congregation a donut for everybody. I was so happy. I called my sister about it. And I said, I'll bring three tubs this time. I usually bring one or two. And I said, I'll bring all three. And so I was all excited. And so I go there about 10 last night. And I go in there, and the donuts were gone. And I was so depressed. And I went in there and said, what happened to my donuts? And the guy was so funny, he said, you won't believe it. He knows me, Pastor Dave. He said, there was a church full of Baptists, and they stopped off here. They were a tourist group. They stopped this big bus, and all these Baptists got off, and they sold out the whole store. If I'd been there earlier, I would have followed that bus. I had unclean thoughts about those Baptists. I still have unclean thoughts about those Baptists. But oh my gosh, I'm sorry I don't have donuts for you today. I mean, it looked like they had sold maybe one the whole day. But anyway, that's so it goes with my little Dunkin' Donut ministry on Saturday nights. So we're looking at time today. And there was a series, it was a few years ago, called The Tudors. And I love the period of history, of English history, of King Henry VIII and Elizabeth. I just think it's just the best. I can read. So there was this series called The Tudors, and they're on the last segment of the show. And it's when King Henry VIII is with a good friend of his. His name is Charles Brandon, who was the Duke of Suffolk. And they had kind of grown up together and had grown old together. And so they have this conversation which has been documented as took place. And I wanted to share with you what they have to say. So I don't have an English accent for you, so pretend. So King Henry says, in these last years, Your Grace, I have been thinking a great deal about time. What loss, Your Grace, is to humanity mostly irrecoverable? And Brandon responds, their virtue. And King Henry says, no, for by your actions, you may redeem your virtue. And then Brandon says, then your honor. King Henry says, no, for again, you may find the means to recover your honor. And Brandon says, then I cannot say, Your Majesty. And then King Henry says this, time. Your Grace, of all losses, time is the most irrecoverable, for it can never be redeemed. Time. Time marches on. It does not stop. And that is what Advent is all about. Advent is about time and how time continues along, and that Advent is not so much about our time, but Advent is about God's time. Time is so important to us. I was listening to the Today Show. I usually listen to the Today Show when I'm getting ready each day, and they talked about people spending time with their families And researchers have come to find out that the most time that most families can stay together to be able to tolerate each other is 4 hours. They say you have 4 hours together where you can get along, that everything is going to be all right, and then at the end of 4 hours, meltdowns start to take place. People go to rooms, they disappear, they leave. This Thanksgiving, I could tolerate my family 2.5 hours. Time is so important for us. And don't you wish that we could control time? Everything would be on our schedule rather than on someone else's. We would never be late to work. We would never be late to dinner parties, to doctor's appointments, to school. We would never be late to church. But we don't have the capability to control time. Time is fleeting. It goes on. And it is up to us how we use our lives and time. I mentioned to folks when they come to Doolin and I ask where they're from, and they're from another place, and I say, oh, coming to D.C., it is so great, but it is up to you how you use your time. You can enjoy it with all the free stuff that we have here, with monuments and concerts and all this other kind of stuff that we have, or you can just kind of stay in your house and be happy there. But this is your opportunity to have a wonderful experience while you live in this area. And I've lived in this area for 25 years, and it is just the best place to be. I think about how God must be looking down on us. I read in the paper today that there's a new name for the holiday that we're in. It's called Hallow Thanksmas. Hallow Thanksmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Hallow Thanksmas. And I thought, you know, how God must be just chuckling to God's self as God looks down at us during this time of the year when we are so busy, we are creating so much stress for ourselves, doing this, doing that, getting stuck in traffic, dealing with cashiers, all those kinds of things, and we are just, our blood pressures are just going sky high. And God is looking down at us and saying, what are they doing? They can't control the time. God controls our time. I was thinking about Jesus' birth, about how time was so essential. And think about it, it was all on God's time. Time for the angel to visit Mary. Time for Mary and Joseph to travel to Bethlehem. Time for Mary and Joseph to find a place to stay. Time for Mary to give birth to Jesus. Time for the angels to tell the shepherds the good news. Time for the shepherds to travel to the manger. It was all choreographed on God's time. And now this is the time again that we wait. We wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ, not on our time, as many of these books and preachers and prophecies try to say. They have no clue. Even in the scripture today, it says that Jesus did not know when the time would be. It is all on God's time. And in the scripture for today, Jesus gives examples. Jesus gives the example of Noah's Ark. Noah built that ark way back in the Old Testament. No one knew when the flood was going to come. Were people watchful for it? Heavens no. The flood comes and there goes Noah with his family and all the animals just sailing away. You should have been watchful. You should have been looking. And they were too busy with themselves. And they perished. He gives other examples of two people. There's two men working busily on their work for the day. One is taken, one is left behind. Two women are working at the grist mill. One is taken, one is left behind. Someone's in their house, not watchful, and someone breaks into their house. What kind of houses did they have back then? They had these kind of clay houses. And if you wanted to break into someone's house, you would have to dig into their house. You'd have to kind of get a shovel or whatever. You'd have to dig inside the middle of their house, and then you could get in. And people had to be watchful because it happened all the time. It was so easy to break into one's house. We're kind of watchful. A lot of us have security cameras and alarm systems, and you even have the thing now with the doorbell. Always to be watchful, because we never know when Christ will come again. So I have five little clues to help us about how we can keep awake, how we can be watchful, how we can watch for our time and to make the most of it. And the first is this: to pay attention to those closest to us, how we give and receive in love in our relationships. Not to take for granted our spouses, our families, our friends, our colleagues. The second is this: pay attention to the people we encounter. How might our interaction bring holy moments? You never know that encounter that you're going to have on the street or wherever it may be, and how that may be a holy moment. I decided I'm going to do something this week, and I will report back to you. So if you notice going down Broad Street, on the right-hand side, there is a young man, and he does this. Have you seen him? You've seen him? And I'm nice. I'm cordial. I don't know about you, but I wave at him every time, and he waves back. You know, he does this to me. You know what I'm going to do this week? I'm going to stop my car. I'm going to walk down there, and I'm going to introduce myself to him, and, you know, I'm going to be very cordial to him. And it'll be interesting just to see if I will have a holy moment or not. Is he part of God's plan? Is he part of God's time for us as we await the coming of Jesus Christ? The third is this: pay attention to the people least like us. How will we learn from them? We have our Ministry of Hope that is here on Sunday mornings. And you know, as I greet folks, I get to learn something from these groups of what I call the working poor every week. I learn about their circumstance. I learn about what Pastor Dave means to them. I learn about what's going on in their life. Something that is quite different from talking to the folks at this particular service. And I think that we need to add to that, pay attention to the people that we like the least. You know, it's interesting, as a preacher, I have learned that you learn to take criticism in a positive way. I think I receive criticism every single day. Every single day of my life, there is some kind of complaint or criticism. And when I first started out, I thought I was going to have nervous breakdowns. I thought, why do people want to abuse me and hurt me? Some people were just rude, cruel, hateful, mean-spirited. And I've learned, though, that most of the time, they're the ones who need the help. And I can learn from what people have to say to me. And I just say to myself, well, bless your heart, and I move on. But you know, there are people that when we are criticized, there is a reason that that criticism took place. It may be misplaced, but we can still learn from it. I diverge. The other is this: pay attention to God and what God is doing in the world. How can we awaken our hearts and minds to God? You know, God is at work 24/7 in our lives. But when do we turn to God? It's when we have these, oh God, I call them panic prayers. Oh God, I'm in a panic here. Help me out. God gets us out of that, and then we move on. See you later, God, till the next panic attack happens. God is at work in our lives each and every moment. And the last is this: to pay attention to ourselves. It's called self-awareness. To be aware of our deficiencies, to be aware of our strengths that we have, but to be self-aware of how we can use what we have to reach out and to help our neighbor and to love God. That is the commandment that Jesus told us. So during this time of Advent, as we look at time, think about each moment is precious to us. It is that moment in time that will never happen again. We're having that moment right now, and now we move forward, and it will not happen again. Time is finite for each and every one of us. We never know when God is going to take us. God could take me down right now. Enjoy our lives. Life is precious. Time. Make the best of it, because it is a gift that God has given us. And we use that gift as we wait for the coming of Jesus Christ this Advent. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen. Amen.